Arizona's capital in Phoenix has gotten much quieter since the end of a historic teacher walkout last week. You can walk the grounds and see more than a dozen monuments commemorating everything from World War II Marines to law enforcement canines and perhaps most controversially, Confederate troops. KJZZ's Mariana Dale is familiar with the area, and she's here now. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. And yeah, just east of the House of Representatives, you'll find a statue. It's an outline of the state of Arizona, and it's filled with stones. The Daughters of the Confederacy had it installed in 1961. It's a memorial to Confederate troops. And at the very bottom, it says, "A nation that forgets its past has no future."
And in the last year, there's been a major push where people have called for these memorials to be taken down here and all around the country. Mariana, can you give us some insight as to why that is?
We have countless examples nationally and locally, including groups like the local chapter of the NAACP, to people like Janine Bryant. She grew up driving up and down the East Coast, and her mom would point out these Confederate monuments like a warning almost. It was a reminder that they weren't always safe.
These monuments are representative of a tattoo on our collective social body. And so we have chosen to mark ourselves and our collective bodies with these monuments. And so what does it mean for us as a nation to be covered with the marks of white supremacy?
Now, Arizona's monuments still remain, but in other places in the country, they've been taken down or covered up. What happens next? Some have speculated, hey, let's put them in a museum.
So it turns out that the people that work at museums actually have some thoughts about that, a lot of thoughts. The American Alliance of Museums are meeting in Phoenix this week, and they discussed that issue yesterday. Benjamin Filene is the chief curator at the North Carolina Museum of History. He explained that museums don't want to just be a place where we marginalize or hide things that we don't want to deal with.
We don't want to be in the cold storage business. We want to surface issues, be a place where you don't hide things, places where communities come together and discuss and wrestle with contemporary questions.
And how do museums plan to do that?
The short answer is they're still figuring it out. I'll give one example. Lewis Nelson, he's a professor at the University of Virginia. In Charlottesville, there's this larger-than-life statue of Confederate General Stonewall Jackson. It was been in the news quite a lot last year. And Nelson makes the case that the statue is actually not removed from its original location.
Is it possible for us to bring the museum to the object?
And here's what he means like that. So right now, if you go to the statue, you see this white guy in military garb on a horse. He kind of towers over everyone. And what you don't see is the history of the area. For example, the site was once a historically black neighborhood. There was a failed lynching attempt there. And actually, right before the statue was unveiled in the 1920s, it was the site of a KKK rally.
Is it possible for us to reinscribe that square with those layers of history so that we understand how this material act is part of racial acts, political acts, legislative acts that all worked collectively to build Jim Crow Charlottesville?
So this seems like it would be pretty uncomfortable to discuss. Did you sense that when these topics were brought up?
Definitely. So this particular session was standing room only. People were really invested in being there. And that's because in recent years, museums have been working to invite more diverse voices to the table, aside from, you know, their so-called experts. And that might be the community at large, activists, people from minority communities, and people in the room didn't shy away from critiquing their own institutions. Kaylee Bryant-Greenwell works with the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture.
The anti-racist movement within museums is very long-standing, decades long-standing, and extremely marginalized.
And I think it can be challenging to question your own workplace. Bryant Greenwell see it as the only way that they can actually cause any meaningful change if they have these tough conversations. And the change like that hopefully will be evident to the people that are visiting museums that may one day be displaying these Confederate monuments.
So what do museums hope people can take away from being exposed to this type of sometimes controversial history?
So the museum people, or the professionals, I guess we'll call them, they've embraced the idea that museums are inherently political. They're not neutral spaces. They reinforce ideas about who we are as a culture, and that can be pretty revolutionary. Suzanne Serif works at the Department of Anthropology at UT Austin, and she said it this way.
We absolutely have not done our job if people don't feel uncomfortable.
And that's KJZZ's Mariana Dale reporting on the role of Confederate monuments in museums. Really interesting stuff, Mariana. Thanks.
Thank you.